So if you stumble upon a bear and it's a very close encounter, then that could go bad. But if you see a bear from afar, it's not a big deal, right? Bears aren't out to attack us. They're not out to eat us. So the main thing you want to do is avoid stumbling onto a bear, right? You don't want to surprise them. You don't want to get between a sow and a cub. And you certainly don't want to get near any food source they have. Think a lot about where you're hiking. Once you get into the high country, once you get above tree line, it becomes a lot easier, right? You're going to be able to see the bear a long way away and vice versa. Same with smells. If you've got a wind behind you, that's good for the bear, right? Because if it's coming from your back, then the bear's going to get a warning. If it's a headwind, then it's like, hey, heads up, right? So the bear doesn't know you're coming. You got to be louder. If you're around water, like bears like salmon. So if you're around a salmon creek and it's louder, you need to be more aware of that, make a lot more noise if you can help it. Certainly don't hang out near a water source. If you are going to be in thick brush, whether you're bushwhacking or on a trail, make sure you make a lot of noise when you have blind corners, things like that.
Okay, so let's say you do have a bear encounter, though, and then what?
Most of the time, bear wants nothing to do with us, right? It only has a certain amount of time to put on a lot of weight. We're not on its menu, so if we're a threat, if it considers us a threat, it's afraid of us, or we're threatening its child or food source, then it might attack. Most of the time, though, it does. They don't, right? And that's what people need to remember is usually they'll just run away. If it's really comfortable around people, it might even take a step toward you, and it's probably checking out to see what are you going to do. We've had people who they're approached on the trails and they're frightened. So they set down their cooler, they set down their backpack and run off, and thinking that it's better that the bear gets the backpack than them. Now the bear knows that all I need to do is take a step towards a human and they'll give me food. So the next person is like, hey, let's try this again. The bear that's stepping towards you, it might just want to see, what are you going to do? And we do not want to back off. We don't want to run away, right? Hold your ground. Let it know you're not going to get anything from me. If it does start coming closer, then that's when you might think about getting that bear spray out.
So it's not just going away because we, you know, shouted or clapped our hands or whatever. What do you do? What's the right thing to do?
Well, I would even back up a little bit and say before the bear spray, a couple other deterrents. If it's a curious bear, which might be just a teenager, just kind of checking you out, trying to figure out, you know, push boundaries in life. That bear, if you throw rocks at it, it might work. If you have a air horn, loud air horn, a pan of rocks. I mean, a lot of times that's all it takes. So like some people use a pan of rocks around their camp, right? And if a bear starts to poke around and come into your campsite, just shake that and make a loud, unexpected noise. And that's all it takes for them to run off. If you have to, if it's going to continue to approach, I have found that bear spray works usually quite well, right? Because you can actually get pretty close to that bear and spray it right in the face. If it's a charge, then that's going to be much more difficult because that's where people tend to underperform. They don't do near as well as if it's a lower stress encounter.
How do people screw that up?
In a highly pressurized situation where this bear is coming at you full force, your amygdala, which is a part of your brain deep inside, it's called the limbic system. It's an automated part of your brain. It starts to stimulate. So it's going to give you a whole bunch of adrenaline. Well, historically, that has allowed us to live. It actually dilates your pupils, so you have better visual data input. Your blood is shunted from your skin to your core, so you don't have as much blood flow in the skin just in case you're mauled. So all of these automatic things happen to keep us alive. But if they keep happening, if we keep getting these chemicals in the system, then we call it an amygdala hijack. And you get so many of these chemicals in the system that your prefrontal cortex, your ability to think and make decisions, kind of freezes. It almost goes away. And that's really common. And so in a true emergency, highly stressful emergency, about 85% of people underperform. If you want to prevent that, right, because you don't want to get stuck. One of the most important things to do is to practice using bear spray before you need it. You really need to make that bear spray very habitual, very comfortable, very familiar. And if you don't want to use real bear spray, then there's inert bear spray that you can purchase and practice with.
What are other things that people should do? I mean, we hear in some cases that you should play dead. What about that?
Any true attack, if it's an aggressive charge, black or brown bear, hold your ground, Do not run away. Even if they're coming at you pretty fast, still hold your ground. If an attack or contact is imminent, if you know you're going to be attacked, then drop into the fetal position if you can. Play dead. You are probably a surprise threat to them. And just like we have this automated response, they also have an automated response, right? So they're striking out. And if you crumple into the fetal position, the threat's gone. They may even stand over you for a second. But if you don't continue to scream and yell and thrash, once they figure out the threat is dead, they will very commonly split. They'll run off.